Good to see you this morning. I'm going to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. While you're turning, I'd like to emphasize one of the announcements that Stephen made, and that's the Sweetheart Banquet on February the 6th. We do want to encourage all the couples who fall into this particular range. It's everywhere from being engaged up through still having children that you're raising at home. Now, if your son is 45 and he's living at home, that doesn't count. But you know what I mean. If you're still raising children at home and you fit in that age group or that really life group, I guess you might call it, we're going to have a really good time together on February the 6th at 6 p.m. There will be a nursery provided, and there'll be something to eat for the children, spaghetti supper. If you'd like to help keep children that night here at the chapel, that'd be great, and you could let Kim or me know. And if you'd like to attend and you fall in that age range, we can give you more information about that, and we'd love for you to attend that. We think it'll be a real special time, and we are looking forward to it. Kim and I still fall into that for a little while longer, so we're looking forward to it. Wanted to share with you a little story from my past. I was reflecting on this week, but I think ties in with our message this morning. It took place down at Myrtle Beach. It was a number of years ago. I can't remember how many. I don't know, 10, 15, or something like that. My parents might remember. But at the time, just about all of our extended family and our families were down there together at the beach. And while we were there, my parents decided, I think particularly my dad, that he wanted all of the children who were there and their spouses who were there to go to one of the shows. Now, this isn't a bad show. I don't want you to think that. Nothing like that. Family type of show. They have a lot of them down there at Myrtle Beach. And he wanted us to go. Well, and they even said they'd keep the children and they were going to pay for it. So, anyway. But here we are, you know, we were still in this age group down here, had children at home, and we were, you know, still a little bit know-it-alls at the time, I guess. And anyway, I can remember my siblings and their spouses, and Kim and I, we'd be talking, and we'd say, you know, we don't want to go to this thing. It's not going to be any fun. This is like for old people, you know. We don't want to go. So maybe if he'd just give us the money, then we could go do what we want to do and still let them keep the kids. But nobody was brave enough to, you know, broach that subject or make that suggestion. So we finally just, okay, we're going, you know. I mean, he's paying for it. We're going to go. So we got in the car and we drove up to North Marta Myrtle Beach, and we loved it. We laughed so hard. We enjoyed it. The music, good humor. Some of the people in the performance were even believers, had their testimony in the bulletin thing. We got to talk with them, and it was just such a great time. And we got back all smiling, and I think my parents were smiling bigger than any of us were, enjoying us enjoying it. You know, they knew that we would have a good time if we would just go. They knew if we would just take what was offered and we would go and take possession of it, that we would enjoy that and be thankful we went. And really, we would be more thankful than if we had gotten the money and gone and done what we thought we wanted to do. You know, our human parents are often illustrations for us, aren't they, of God, who is our Father, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And God knows what's best for us, and He desires what's best for us, and He's made so much available to us. But oftentimes we think, I'd rather have this. I'm not going to ask you for sake of time to look back into Numbers, or what we did last week. We've been looking at the nation of Israel on their journey, and now they're in the Promised Land. They're at the edge of the Promised Land, and in Numbers 13, we read last week about a group of explorers that we studied a while back, and they went into the land, and they got some of the fruit of the land and brought it back to show the people what it was like in this land that God had promised to them. And He said, I've given you this land, you just got to go in and possess it. And they came and they had figs and pomegranates, and kind of the focal point of what they brought back, the symbol really of the sample of what was in this new land that God had given to them, were it was a cluster of grapes so big that two men had to put it on a long staff, a long pole, and carry it between their shoulders. Now you can imagine as they came into the camp what everybody must have thought. Look at that. Look at that, what this new land is like. Here's a little sample of it. And God said, you need to go in and possess it. One of the men, Caleb, who along with Joshua, who wrote the book of Joshua, those two men of the 12 said, we can do it. Caleb said this, let us go up at once and possess it. God has given it to us. Let's go right now and take possession, lay hold of what God has given to us. Well, here in Ephesians, which many commentators have likened to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, we see that God, for believers today, for Christians today, God has also provided for us great blessings. Notice there in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, notice the next phrase, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know, we think about those blessings that God has provided for us. Spiritual blessings. Did you notice that as we read? It's easy to read right over that word spiritual. Because when we think about blessings, normally the first thing that comes to our mind are the material blessings that we enjoy and we often take for granted. And as we see news reports of the aftermath of the earthquake in Haiti, we're reminded just how blessed we are materially. And we should never take those things for granted. And God in His goodness has seen fit to pour those things upon us at this time in our lives to different degrees, depending on us individually and as families. God has provided for us materially. But God's concern goes so much deeper than that. And just like my parents could have given us the money and said, go and do what you want to do, God could say, here, all these material blessings, I know that's what you think you want. And often He gives us those, but beyond that, He said, I'm going to give you spiritual blessings. And these are blessings that will impact your life so much more than just the material blessings. And we should be thankful for both. But just as the nation of Israel had to go up and go in and possess the land that God said, I've already given you, so believers today, we read in 1 Timothy 6:12, we need to fight the good fight and lay hold on, literally take possession of eternal life. The blessings of eternity, so much of that is available right now to you if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you don't, God says, this is what I'm offering to you. You don't have to do anything but take advantage of it. Salvation, we receive a free gift. We're brought into the family of God and we're born again. And we're given an inheritance. And that inheritance is ours fully in heaven, but so much of it is available right now. If we're willing to step out in faith and knowing that there are going to be enemies there, and that was what the Israelites knew they would face. There would be enemies. But we need to take possession of what God has given to us. As we said last week, we can visualize in our minds Paul, the human author of this letter to the saints there at Ephesus, we can think of him on one end of a long pole, and on the other end, we imagine Tychicus. We read about him in chapter 6. He was the human avenue of bringing the actual letter and delivering it to the folks there in Ephesus and giving them an update on how Paul was doing personally. He's on the other end, and you think about that. They're coming through in this book of Ephesians, and they're presenting to us a sample of the great fruit that God has provided for us in the promised land. The promised land for the believer is not heaven, because the promised land, as we see it in the book of Joshua, is a land of blessing, but also that of battle. And we won't be doing any battles in heaven. Battles all won, we sometimes sing. But right here on the earth, we can enjoy, we can take hold of the blessings of heaven. I want to begin here with a quote that I gave you at the end last week by William R. Newell. Paul does not ask a thing of the saints in the first three chapters of Ephesians, but just to listen while he proclaims that wondrous series of great and eternal facts concerning them. And not until he has completed this catalog of realities about them does he ask them to do anything at all. And so again this morning, last week we looked at chapter 1 after a more lengthy introduction. I hope we're going to be able to look at chapters 2 and 3 today. And we want to just listen and watch and see what Paul, by the Spirit of God, brings out and says, here's some of the fruits. Here are some of the blessings that are already yours if you're in Christ. They already belong to you. Just a matter of stepping out in faith and possessing them, appropriating them for your life. And I trust that as we view them, we'll be instructed, we'll be reminded, we'll be encouraged, as we saw last week, that it's worth it, though the enemies are many and strong. Chapter 2. We're going to look at a number of blessings here. The first blessing is that of position. Now, notice down in verse 4, we'll pick up there. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together, and notice this, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This first blessing, Paul points over to this big cluster of blessings on the pole. And he says, here's the next one. It's position. And we're not going to name every one of them, but here's one. Position. Sometimes you go to an athletic event, or you go to a dramatic presentation, or you go to some other presentation where there's a large group. And you know, we all love to have the best seats in the house, don't we? Best seats in the house. Sitting in the prime position. And God says, in Christ, you have the best seats in the universe. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now, we're not in heaven, but we can dwell in heaven, spiritually speaking. While you wash the dishes on earth, you can be dwelling in the heavenlies. While you go to your job and maybe suffer through another day, or maybe enjoy another day, you can be living in the heavenly places in Christ. While you're changing a diaper, while you're paying a bill, while you're looking at the computer, whatever you're doing, you can be living in the heavenly places in Christ, because God says that's your position. That's where you're seated. He has given you that great privilege by raising you from the dead, spiritual death in trespasses and sins, making you alive with Christ, and seating you positionally there in the heavenlies with Christ. That means that the Lord Jesus is the one who is fellowshipping with us. We're there in the heavenlies with Him. We're able to enjoy all that He is and all that He provides because of our position. But you know what? Believers can have that position and not appropriate the reality of dwelling with Christ in the heavenly places, of having that position. It's so easy to go on through life thinking that heaven is something future and the blessings of heaven is something that's out there, and one day I will get that. In reality, one day we will experience it fully, but God wants us to enjoy it right now. And then we can recognize we have the right to fellowship with God in the heavenly places. We have the right to have our minds and hearts set on things above, not on things on the earth. For as Paul tells the Colossians, our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And the real life, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, real life is going to come as you are focused on the Lord Jesus, the one who's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Imagine the impact on your life, as I imagine the impact on my life, of living moment by moment in the reality that I am seated there with Christ in heavenly places. He's there at the right hand of God. He's here too, by the way. He said that two or three gathering in His name, He said, I'm right there in the center part of your meeting. And He says that He, as we'll see later, He dwells in the very body through the Holy Spirit of the ones who know Him as Savior. And yet He's in the heavenlies. The same can be true of us as we dwell there with Him, focusing our mind on things above. Look at another blessing Paul points out to us here in verse 10. For we are His, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are the workmanship of God. We have been created in Christ Jesus. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, a lot of wonderful things happen that you don't even understand at the moment, and you don't feel, and you may never feel, but you can learn our realities from the Scripture. One of those is that we are made new. We are created in Christ. And all who are in Christ, we read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, all who are in Christ are new creations. We've been made new in Christ. And part of that newness is that in our being recreated spiritually and made new with a relationship with God is that we have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I'm emphasizing that word unto because this blessing is the blessing of purpose. Of purpose. We have been created in Christ Jesus unto, for a purpose. The purpose being that of good works which God has preordained for each individual believer to do. You see, if you've trusted Christ as Savior, God has made you a new creation. And as that new creature, God has chosen that you will have the opportunity to do certain things for Him. Not to earn anything with Him in the sense of earning a position before Him. We already have that in Christ. But rather that we might live a life that will honor Him and bring glory to Him here on this earth while we dwell in the heavenlies, but yet live on the earth. There are certain things that God has enabled you to do that I can't do. And there's people's lives that you can touch that somebody on the other side of this room will never even know about. You can do that because God has created you in Christ Jesus for the purpose of those good works. And He has already planned those works for you to do. But guess what? You can be a spiritual couch potato. Sit at home and not do what God wants you to do. Now, maybe the good works He has for you are in your home. I'm not saying that it's not. But you can do nothing, or by faith you can step out and believe God and take hold of this wonderful purpose for which God has created you in Christ Jesus to do those good works. Again, salvation is not of good works. He made that very clear in the verse right before it. It's not of works, lest anyone should ever boast. No, it's by grace that you are saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not of works, but if you've received the Lord Jesus, you've received that gift, then you have a purpose of good works, designer good works. I guess designer clothes are still popular. I guess they'll always be popular, won't they? Remember when designer jeans were all the craze and all the young people and some of the older people wanted designer jeans with the designer label on them. And today I guess that's still somewhat of a status symbol. You know, God has designed good works for you. Things for you to do. And He has designed you to do those good works. To impact the lives of other people. To reach out. And it may be in a material sense. It may be in a spiritual sense. It may be through an emotional avenue. God has purpose for you. We're not just to live here and to exist and to pay the bills and to go to the job and come home and keep going through the motions. No, within those things, And beyond those things, we're to be fulfilling the purpose for which God has created us in Christ Jesus unto good works. Paul says, take hold of that blessing. The next blessing we'll look at is in verses 12 and 13. It's the blessing of proximity, the state of being near. Notice verse 12. Well, go ahead and read verse 11 with me. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus. There we see that again, in Christ Jesus. Ye who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. Paul says, check out this blessing. The blessing of proximity. Before you were far away, and he uses the illustration of the Gentile nations in contrast to the nation of Israel. And what's so interesting about that is as he goes on into this chapter, he's going to begin to stress the reality that now in Christ Jesus, God is taking the Gentiles who trust in the Lord Jesus and the Jews who trust in the Lord Jesus and bring them all together into one body, one new man, the church. And so here he says, you know, in the past, you were far away. You were far off. But now, you who are without Christ, you are near Christ. You have been made alive with Christ. You have been raised with Christ. You have been seated with Christ. You are near Him. You're near God's people. You used to be shut out from the people of God. Here, we see them as the commonwealth of Israel, God's people in the Old Testament. And we see that God is doing something new, the church. And if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior from your sin, the one who died on the cross for you and rose again, as our brother sang about, if you are willing to trust Him as your Savior, then you are brought near not only to the Lord Jesus, that's the best, but also near to the people of God. And you're brought into a close, intimate relationship with every other true Christian. The blessing of proximity. Near God's promises. He says, you used to be strangers from the covenant of promise. You didn't have a share in the promises that God had made. Now, according to chapter 3 and verse 6, you are partakers of God's promise in Christ by the gospel. You believe the gospel, you receive the Lord Jesus, and now you're close to the promises of God. Before, apart from the Lord Jesus, you were without hope, you were hopeless. Now as we read in chapter 4 and verse 4, you are called in one hope of your calling. You have that confident expectation of the future. You were without God in the world, we read at the end of verse 12, but now you're near God, reconciled unto God. You know, all those things are true of the believer. We're near Christ. We're near the people of God. We're near the promises of God. We're near the hope of God. We're near God Himself, positionally. But what about practically? Are you willing to step out in faith and embrace the reality of your nearness to the Lord Jesus and let that make an impact in your life? To change your life. Paul says, the blessing is here. Step out in faith and take hold of it. Lay hold of eternal life. Enjoy it right now. The next blessing, Paul says, look, I really want you to see this one. He covers it in verses 14 to 17. It's the blessing of peace. Blessing of peace. Read those verses. Follow along with me. We just read about the Lord Jesus and His blood. For He, Christ Jesus, is our peace, who hath made both one, Jew and Gentile, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in Himself of two one new man, so making peace. so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to them that were near. What a blessing. You know, we probably can't really understand some of the hatred that was between the Jews and the Gentiles. How much the Gentile people, the non-Jews, despised this nation. And how much this nation of Jews despised those who weren't of Israel, who weren't of the seed of Abraham. And we understand today many of the divisions that we have seen down through the history even of our country. And God says, I want to bring together Jew and Gentile. And God will bring together those from every nationality, every tribe, every tongue. He will bring together in that one body, that one new person in Christ. And that's His desire, and that's what He does. When we come to the Lord Jesus in salvation, verses 14 and 15 tell us about that horizontal peace that we have. The harmony. Harmony. You know, there are people in this room today who probably would have nothing to do with each other were it not for the Lord Jesus. There's likely people in the world today with whom you would be at great odds. They would be an enemy to you if it weren't that you knew the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and they knew the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But because of that, there is a bond, horizontal peace. Are you willing to take hold of that? You may have something against a brother or sister in Christ. They may have done something, said something. There may be some reason in the past where you feel that you were at odds with this believer in the Lord Jesus, and you're a believer. There's a lot of enemies there. There's a lot of opposition, but God says it's available. That peace, that horizontal peace, that unity, if we're willing to step out in faith, in humble grace, one toward another, to go out and say, I'm sorry, or I forgive you, or can we talk about this? Can we deal with this thing that's between us from the past? Are you willing to step out in faith and embrace this great blessing of peace? God has made us one. But are we experiencing that? And then, of course, that peace is based on the vertical peace we see in verse 16. He reconciles us unto Himself. Reconcile. He brings us back to Him. Adam and Eve were fellowshipping with God in the Garden of Eden, nothing standing between until sin separated man from God. And God has brought us back that we might have that nearness to Him, that vertical peace, oh, the peace of heart and mind to know that you're at peace with God, that you've been reconciled by faith. Are you enjoying that? Are you allowing the guilt that Satan is bringing up against you from sins in your past, things between you and God vertically that you have brought to God? He's forgiven you. Or is there something you've not confessed that's interrupting your fellowship with Him? Paul says, here's a blessing, the blessing of peace. Step out, lay hold of it. Sure, there are enemies there trying to keep you from that, but enjoy that. And if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, to come to God and believe on the Lord Jesus and receive Him as your substitute. He died for your sins, and He rose again, and He offers that salvation. You can be forgiven. What a blessing. What a blessing. Look at another blessing here in verse 18, the blessing of privilege, of privilege. We might call it access. For through Him, it keeps going back to the Lord Jesus. Do you know that? Do you notice that? For through Him, through Christ Jesus, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. In other words, here's a great blessing that God has made available to us, the right to approach God. Now, that's not something to be taken for granted. And you know, it's easy sometimes for us as believers to flippantly come before God thinking nothing of it, like it's no big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for a sinful human being to be forgiven of sin and to be able to come into the very presence of the holy God, creator, sustainer of the universe, the sinless one, who is so holy can't even look upon sin, and to be able to come into his very presence and to have access, that is a great privilege. Are you taking advantage of that? Are you laying hold on the access that you have into the very throne room of God, the opportunity to approach the one who has all the resources to deal with every issue in your life? To approach intimately with the deepest hurts of your life. The one who understands and is able to bring comfort as he chooses and is able to use you in the lives of others according to his purpose and plan of good works. Are you taking advantage of that? The one who wants to hear all about your smallest victories and your greatest joys, and he wants you to share that with him. He already knows, but he wants you to share that with him. The one that we can approach with our request and our hurts and our confusion, and also with our worship and our thanksgiving and with our joys. But we've got to embrace that privilege of accessing his presence, recognizing that we're truly there with him. Let's look at one more here in chapter 2, at the end, down at verse 19 through 22. Here, Paul says, here's one other blessing I'll show you in this chapter. Of course, he didn't say that because he didn't write it in chapters. He wrote it as a letter. But look at this one. It's participation. Verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. There's participation, there's membership there in the household of God, a family. You know, when our daughter-in-law, Danielle, married our son, Josh, she became part of our family. And he became part of her family. But you know, when we buy Christmas presents, we don't say, well, okay, we'll spend this much on Josh and this much on Jordan, this much on Joseph, and this much on Anna. They're all equal, but Danielle, we're not going to get her anything. Or maybe we'll get her a little something. No, she's one of our children. Now, maybe the other kids don't get quite as much because we're spending more on her. But, yeah. But it's equal. She's a part of the family. And we come to the Lord Jesus by faith. We become a part of a family, the family of God. Membership there, and we participate in that. But not only in the household of God, he also mentions there the house of God as a structure. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You're in the house of God. Peter says you're a living stone in a spiritual house. So you have participation, being involved in the family of God, a fellow citizen with the saints, not separate anymore, but you're now a part of the household of God, a part of the family, with all the blessings and privileges and rights, but also responsibilities to function within the family. You know, when we go somewhere together, when Josh and Danielle are in the States and we're going together, we want her to be a part of the family. We want her to function just as part of the family. Some people never have that sense of belonging. Unfortunately, some don't even have it in their own families. But we should have that in the family of God. That recognition that I'm to participate as a vital part of this family, and this local family here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. And then I'm a part of that spiritual building. God says that's the church, not this building of brick and mortar and wood and other materials, but rather a spiritual building. He said, that's where I live. That's where I dwell. When the saints come together, I'm there. I'm dwelling with the believers, and we're a part of that. You know, to know that we're in, and to know that we're involved, that we're actively functioning. I read about a certified public accountant who decided he was going to open a journal with God. And he said, every blessing that God brings to me, I'm gonna write it down, and I'm going to put that on the credit side. And everything I do for God, I'm going to put that down on the debit side. You know, he began, probably, to think about the physical blessings that he had, the material blessings. I hope that maybe he was reading the book of Ephesians, chapters 1 through 3, and I hope he got excited about some of these spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. And finally, he said he gave up. He said, you know, it's impossible for me to balance the books. I find that God is indeed my creditor, and what I have done for Him is next to nothing. God has blessed you. If you know Christ as Savior, God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, and we've just looked at a few of them today. And I hope that they're an encouragement to you. Your position in Christ, your purpose being created in Him, your proximity being close to God and the Lord Jesus and His people and His promises and His hope, the peace that we have horizontally and vertically, the great privilege of coming into the presence of God and that participation in the household, in the house of God. Next Sunday morning, I won't be here, but the Sunday after, I'd love for us just to finish up briefly, just a couple of more blessings in chapter 3 and begin to get in a little more practically into how do I lay hold of these blessings? Again, Paul's laying them out there. Check out this big cluster of blessings that I'm carrying. Tychicus and I are bringing it in here, Paul could say. Look at it, be excited by it. Be amazed by it and be challenged. Am I appropriating these blessings in my life? God has made it available through His grace, not of works. And He will enable us to enjoy every one of those blessings to the fullest as we dwell in the heavenly places in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for our time together this morning. Lord, it's a joy just to look at all that You have given to us. And Father, we know we're just touching the hem of the garment, as it were. We're just scratching the surface, Father, of all that You have given to us in the Lord Jesus. But thank You for what we've seen in Ephesians chapter 2 today. Thank You for the reminders and the revelation of things that You have made available to us, and that positionally we have. Our name is on the title deed. Father, we pray that You will encourage us and motivate us and direct us to step out in faith in spite of the enemies. And Father, to take possession and to enjoy in a practical way these many blessings that come from Your hand to us. We pray for any here this morning that do not know the Lord Jesus. Father, their name is not on the title deed because they don't know Your Son, whom to know is life eternal. Father, I pray that You will convict them of their sin that separates them from You and from these many blessings. I pray, Father, they'll see the Lord Jesus, who died for them and was buried and rose again, and now is at Your right hand, Father. Might they see Him with His nail-scarred hands offering Himself. And Father, we know that when we receive Him, Father, we receive all of these blessings in Him. We pray that You will do Your work in our hearts today for Your glory, and we commend ourselves to You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.